The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams.
That was like Bubba Watson was about to hit the ball. That wasn't even Tiger Woods. How many of y'all appreciate the City Place Church worship team? Sorry, Bubba, if you're watching. Just an analogy. Joshua chapter 2, verse 7 says this. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance, meaning he reaped the promise. Everything that he dreamed about, he got at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Gash. After the whole generation had gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. A generation before, God was doing miracles. Joshua was leaning and chilling in his promise. He fulfilled all of his dreams. He dies. The elders after him die, and then a generation grew up after him and didn't know God, didn't want to know God, and they didn't even know his mighty acts. This morning, I just want to focus in on a topic. Keep it old school. Look at the person beside you and say, keep it old school. Judges chapter 2 says that there was a guy named Joshua who walked out his promise. His generation loved God. They walked with God. He did amazing things. When he died, the next generation didn't put a value on everything that they had watched God do. They didn't put a value on it. So therefore, since they didn't put a value on it, they let God go to the side. They didn't want to know him. They didn't want to interact with him. Therefore, since they didn't want to know him or interact with him, they didn't even know the capabilities that he possessed. Y'all with me? Walk through it again. Joshua, his whole generation, the elders with him, lived in a crazy way, which they saw God's hand. They knew God personally. When Joshua died and the elders that were a part of his team, when they died, the generation that came up after him watched it, didn't put value on it, said, God, we don't even want to know you, and they never experienced part of his characteristics. So this text clearly shows us that even today there is a choice that you can know God and all that he possesses, his power, his acts, his ways, or you can choose not to, and it is what it is. This morning I just want to focus on this topic, this focus, keep it old school. Mark chapter 7 says this. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washings of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban. That means that is your gift from God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. Therefore, you make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, as many of you do. So I can see the power and the acts of God, and I can pass that down, or I can make a decision my own self to create my own tradition and pass it down. He says the tradition that you lean in, the tradition that you walk in, you pass it down, and it makes the word of God powerless. So on one hand, you can see God doing amazing things. You've been a part of the story, and you choose to not even want to know him. By the time you choose not to know him, it becomes a tradition all your own. You pass it on, and the word of God becomes powerless. There's a generation that knew God. Then there's a generation that they passed on more religion and tradition, but it had no power. Are you with me? So this morning, we're keeping it old school. And there's just a couple of things that as I was reading these stories that I just wanted to just point out to you. We don't want tradition. We want an experience. I don't want the tradition of going to church. I grew up going to church. Until the first 18 years of my life, I didn't know any power. I didn't know the power of God. I just went to church. I didn't have my own experience. My mom, she dragged me out. She dragged me, literally, boy, if you ain't going, I'm going to drag you to church. Sometimes she did. She said, boy, you're going to church. No matter what, you're going to church. Get your behind in the car. You're going to church. So I went to church. So the first 18 years of my life, church was, boy, you better go to church. Boy, you better go to church. Boy, you better, anybody grow up like that? Boy, you better go to church. Get your butt in the church. Get your butt in the church. Get your butt in the church. So I didn't have my own experience. All I had was a tradition. So my tradition can be passed down. I'm thinking that I have a relationship with God. I don't have a relationship with God. All I have is a tradition. So I could see God moving in the generation before where they prayed and they fasted and they didn't have the drums. All they had was a piano that was upright. They had a lady that stomped her foot. They had people that clapped their hands and they had a tambourine. And then when they left, they said, child, we had church. Today, I get mad if I hear, because the microphone was by the monitor. What were they doing? Come on, we're messing everything up because I get used to this. We're in tradition, and when I grew up, there was power. It wasn't just that I show up and everything is perfect. It's laid out. It was Jesus met me the other day. And I can't wait to get back to church because he was there last Sunday. And throughout the week, he was with me there as I was praying. And they say crazy stuff back. Old school people, they say crazy stuff. They say stuff like, I had a cold and I prayed and he healed me. Me nowadays, I'm like, I need Robitussin. I think I got a cold. Anybody else? Old school, back in the old school. The old school people, they say, oh, he kept me from the time I left my front door to the time I got to work. They acknowledge the fact that he kept them and he protected them. It was just old school. Now I get in the car and I'm just like, hey y'all, what y'all need me to do? I just arrived. But there's something that happened when you acknowledge just the smallest of acts that God is doing. So the text says that you have made your tradition. What you do, you've already passed it down, and there's no power in God's word. We don't want tradition. We want an experience. We don't want tradition. We want a relationship. Judges said that Moses and Joshua knew God. They walked with him. So his acts was just a part of his love for them. He wasn't trying to just show them, I'm mighty, I'm great, I'll do mighty miracles. It's like, no, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because you got purpose. I'm doing this because I'm causing you to dream big. I want you to be all that I've created you to be. So it's relationship. So I don't just want my tradition. I don't want that. I want an experience with God, which is drawn me into a relationship with God. The experience with God draws you closer to God. I don't just want to say, oh, the music was really good and I felt something I haven't felt before. Once I feel something that I haven't felt before, I want to lean in to learn more about him because now he's drawn me in. It's what I didn't know at 18. I knew how to do church. Trust me, I could turn on my church tradition in a hot minute, but it does no good because it would not represent my experience and my relationship. So we don't want tradition, we want an experience, and we want a relationship. The other thing is that we don't want tradition because we want power. I want to see him separate the Red Sea. Moses. I want to see me walk around a wall and yell and it come down. I want to see me, be able to walk outside and bread fall from heaven because I'm hungry. I want to be able to lay hands on my own kids and not have to take them to the doctor. I want to be able to declare what God says and the dream come true. I don't really want you to have to pray for me all the time. I want to be able to pray for myself. I want to be able to pray for you and it happens. I don't want just tradition. I want power. Are you with me? Old school, God did crazy stuff. New school, I'm not sure. It then becomes my tradition and I pass it on, which then means another generation goes, you know what? I don't need to be in church. I don't have to go to church. I don't need to be in a small group. I don't need to serve in God's house. I don't need to tithe and give. Why? Because tradition. And it makes the word of God of no effect. Y'all okay? Foundation, foundation. So we need to keep it old school. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. If I want an experience, if I want relationship, if I want power, my life has to be built on God's word. Foundation. Old school built their life on God's word, a.k.a. the Bible, a.k.a. scripture, a.k.a. as a preacher, the text. Old school builds their life on the word of God. It is their foundation. They don't move from it. It sounds like every time they speak, all they're doing is speaking something godly. It sounds like everything that they say, it sounds like it has to do with God. It has to do with scripture. It's always praise the Lord. It's always hallelujah. The reason why is because their foundation is built on God's word. So what comes out of them is what they put in them. Y'all are quiet. Y'all all right? What I put in me is what will come out of me. And so sometimes I get freaked out from people who are overly spiritual. I'm buying a hamburger. Don't tell me amen after I order. I just bought a hamburger. But there's some people who are so rooted in God's word that it just comes out of them. So our life has to be built on God's word. So here, I just want you guys to write these things down. Just some notes. When I pray, I'm talking to God. But when I read, he's talking to me. When I pray, I'm talking to God. But when I read, he's talking to me. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to fire out some things. There's a ushers right on the table back there. There are some handouts that I just want to quickly give to you guys, because we're going to spit out some notes here, and I want you guys to be able to make the word of God your study. John chapter 1, 1 through 5 says this: in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness knew him not. From the beginning till the end, Jesus has always been there. The word is what we need to build our life on. From the beginning of time, it all started and it was built on the word. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. At the start of this whole journey, in the start of your whole life, what existed first was the word. What existed first was the word. Mark chapter 13, 31 says this: heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means pass away. If we don't want tradition, but we want an experience, we want relationship, and we want power, our word has to be built. Our life has to be built on God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the thing that's going to keep you is God's word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The same was also in the beginning. From the foundation of the earth, the word was there. So therefore, knowing that way back when, if I can pull back in old school time, if the word was important then as a foundation, I have to pull the word into my now and make it important as my foundation. So way back when in Genesis, way back when God said the word was there. So what I can't do is I can't look and go, not important. I have to pull the word into my now and make it a foundation. I don't want tradition. I want an experience. I want relationship. And I want power. Everything needed to live and thrive is found in God's word, a.k.a. the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, says this, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints, marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Old school truth, the Bible is alive. It's active. It didn't die off. It's a living product that has the ability to get inside of your spirit and cause you to dream again. It has the ability to speak to your joints and marrows and speak healing into your body. It has the ability to cause dead things to come alive. It also has the ability to tell you, don't do that, or you should do that. The word of God is active. It is alive. So the thing that I'm building my life on is almost like a battery pack. And it keeps me charged. It keeps me focused. It keeps me dreaming. The word of God will never let you just sit still. It will always be speaking. The word of God is what is building you. That's why Genesis says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. It was active. It wasn't just sitting there. It was active. The word was with God, and the word was God. It was active. It was functioning. So when God said, let there be, the word was like, let it happen. So when you build your life on the word of God and you're dreaming about something, what you have to do is you dive into the word of God, because it might need to speak life to my spirit. I'm feeling down today, but I read a scripture and I come alive. My body might be achy and I read a scripture and my body gets better. Or maybe that behavior, I can't tell nobody because I'd shock them. But the word of God will nudge me back in place. Or maybe I'm sitting still and I'm supposed to charge to heal, and the word of God will say, pursue, overtake, recover all. So the word of God has to be our foundation because it is alive. So on the notes that you have in your hand, here's what I want you to write down for number one. My faith activates God's word. My faith activates God's word. My faith activates God's word. Now, the reason why I gave you something to write down is because when you go home, I want you to begin to let the word of God become your foundation. My faith activates God's word. Hebrews chapter 4 in the Living Bible says this, for this wonderful news, the message that God wants to save us, has been given to us just as it was to those who lived in the time of Moses. Remember now, Judges. Back in Moses' time, in Joshua's time, I read that to you earlier. They grabbed hold and they accomplished everything that God wanted them to do. But after Joshua died off, wasn't important. The text here in Hebrews says that at the time of Moses, they received the word of God and it was active and it was alive. Watch now. But it didn't do anything for them because it didn't do them any good because they didn't believe it. They didn't mix it with faith. Faith activates God's word. You and I cannot just sit and let the word of God be read and not lean in and say, God, what can possibly happen if I believe? So it takes your faith along with the word of God, and the word of God becomes alive. Have you ever opened up scripture, read it, and then go, what does that mean? I do that to this day. And I go, what does that have to do? I'm just reading out of my tradition, because every single day I was taught, you wake up in the morning, you read a scripture, you pray a little bit, you go to work. So my tradition tells me I wake up in the morning, I read my Bible, and then I go to work, and I think that I had my relationship time with God, but I didn't, because I haven't had an experience. I haven't drawn into a relationship, so there ain't no power. So I have to bring my faith in with me. That says if I can bring my faith in with me, then God, you're going to speak to me today. So I have to anticipate that God's going to say something right out the gate. Are you with me? So I can't just open the Bible out of tradition. Oh, I'm going to read today because Damon said this is part of what we do as a Christian. No. I got to go, okay, God, this book is alive. What journey are you going to take me on today? So I approach the book because it's alive. It's a story. How many of y'all go to the movies and have no expectation? Y'all go to the movie going, yeah, I wanted to see this. Come on. And it takes you on a journey. Sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you read it and you go, no, I didn't know that happened. Or you leave like, yeah,
What an adventure.
So you have to approach God's word with faith. Now, here's the thing. Revelation will activate your faith. Revelation will activate your faith. The text that you see up there, it says Hebrews chapter 4. It's not Hebrews chapter 4. It's actually Luke. Verse 34. I believe it's Luke chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Luke chapter 1. It says Mary is talking to God. And she says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, who will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Remember, you want to have an experience. You want to have a relationship, and then you want to have power. In this moment when Mary is talking to the angel, she's read all the stories. She's heard everything about times past. But at this one moment, God says, now it's time for you to encounter me. So it says that the angel gives her an experience. Heaven's open. He says, Mary, if you read the story, blessed are you. You are highly favored. You're going to be with child. She responds back to him now, not just hearing. She says, now let me start a relationship with you. How is this going to be? I'm a virgin. I don't know a man. He says to her, this is what he says to her. He says, I'm going to bless you because the Holy Spirit is going to empower you. Empower you. So I can't just have the tradition. I need power. So you're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit. And just by her having the encounter with the angel, she gained revelation, which caused her to say, let everything that you said to me, let it happen. So I get a revelation of who God is as I'm spending time with him and I'm in God's word, and then my faith grows. So I go to the text like, yes, I'm excited to read today. God, what can you say to me? And then God begins to speak to me, and I begin to see that he's for me. He says to Mary, Mary, I'm choosing you. But I didn't know that you would have chosen me. I've chosen you. And she says, let every word that you just said to me, be accomplished in my life. So revelation will activate your faith. Here's what revelation is. It's God's disclosure of himself and his will to you. It's an instance of such communication or disclosure as something you never realized before. How many of y'all would say, and I don't know if you're like me, how many of y'all would say, this is just a simple question. How many of y'all would say at this point of your life, you realize that God loves you? Let me see your hand. How many of y'all did not grow up in church? Raise your hand. How many of y'all would say that it took a moment for you to realize that God loved you? That's called revelation. That revelation activates your faith, which then causes you to be able to lean in to God's word. Write this down. After I get the revelation, it's activating my faith. God's telling me that he loves me. Jesus died for me, that he has the best for me. He's causing me to dream. After that, meditation activates my revelation. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. After my faith sends me to the word, and I'm in the word, after God begins to tell me what he's dreaming about me, he's beginning to tell me how he's thinking about me, all that he can do through me and in me. He's telling me I'm special. He's lifting me up. He's encouraging me. After that, once I begin to read it, I can't just go, okay, I got to get to work now. I take a minute and I begin to ponder. That's what meditation means. It means to begin to ponder. Another definition says that it means to imagine. So I just begin to imagine that when God says that he loves me, I imagine a father squeezing me and hugging me. If I read in a text where it says that, hey, I've set you apart, I can see God pulling me out of a crowd and setting me all by myself. When I find the text when he says the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that lives on the inside of me, I can see Jesus laying down, waking up, and surprising everybody and thinking to myself, whoo, that kind of power lives in me when I begin to meditate on God's word. When I think about scriptures that says, the thoughts that he thinks towards me are only good and not evil. If I've had a hellish day, if I can just pause, then I can combat that negative thought with, oh, he loves me. Because I went to the text with faith. What is he going to say today? And then he shows me something, and I'm like, yeah, that's something I never learned before. So it becomes revelation. And then after I get the revelation and my faith is activated, so let me think on what he just told me. So as you go home today, and I've just told you that the word of God should be your foundation, what does that look like as you think on that? Do you see walls going up? Do you see concrete floor? I don't know. Do you see a full house? Do you see somebody building? Do you see somebody standing on their Bible? I don't know. You think about it. You ponder it. And you let the word of God become active in you. So here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to meditate on the word. Because in order to meditate on the word, build our life, here's three things I want to give you. The first thing is you must accept its authority. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it as not the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe, you who have faith. Remember, faith activates the word. So because you believe, now the word of God doesn't compare to men. It's not based on their tradition. It's not based on what they can say. When you receive the word of God, you meditate on the word of God, it becomes active in you because you believe. So if you said because God said it, that happens. It settles it. It's not because I'm telling you. It's because now you have positioned yourself, said you are my foundation. I don't want just my tradition. I want an experience. I want relationship. I want power. I'm positioning myself on you. I'm coming to your word in faith. Show me something I haven't seen before. Now, after you show me, I'm going to think about it. I accept that the word of God is true. That's a part of my faith. The word of God is authority. It is the guiding blueprint of your life. If you and I follow Christ, no one can ever argue the word of God with you, and don't let them. Don't let them say, well, does the Bible really say? Hey, you know what? That's a great question. You should find out. Don't spend any time, because tradition of men will tell you, hey, wait a second. It's not true. And I can't do that. Because if I allow you to begin to break my tradition, then I go back to Judges. And I become a generation that doesn't really know the power or what God's done. And I don't want to be that. Because I'm building my life on God's word. The second thing is this. I must assimilate its truth. I must assimilate its truth. I've got to make this thing my own. I've got to see this thing working for me. And the way I do that is I listen to God's word. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Read God's word is the second thing I'm going to do. So I'm going to listen to God's word. Then I'm going to read God's word. Matthew chapter 4 says, hey, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So all of God's words, they're life to me. So I can read God's word and I can function. I have to apply it to me. The third thing is you have to explore God's word. You have to explore, I wrote up here, discover. You have to discover the adventures in God's word. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Is it possible that because the word of God is in me, the things that I sometimes do wrong, I can say, not today, because I'm grounded on the word? So there are adventures all throughout the word that we have to live. So here's practically speaking. You have to apply its principles. And worship team, you can come. You have to apply its principles. James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just hear it. Don't just read it. Don't just explore it. But do what it says. So here's some practical stuff that over the next few weeks that I want us to do. Now, I'm taking this Sunday to kick off old school because as I begin to preach on things like praise and worship, and I'm passionate and crazy, what I don't want to happen is that I don't want to lose you because I keep saying in the text or according to scripture or the Bible says. Sometimes in my Christianese, I can say the Bible says and the Bible says, and I get really passionate. You're going, well, what are you talking about? See, if I just take a week and I say, here's the foundation of where we're going, then when we break in chairs and we have a party up in here because we're talking about praise and worship, I can send you back to the ultimate guide. If not, it's just a hype service and you get something else and you just go ahead and leave and you're like, but I'm not learning anything, Pastor Damon. But if I can teach you that the foundation of everything is the word of God, then when you hear me preach on it, you can go home and study it because you're going in your faith and you're like, God, what are you going to say to me today? And then you're going to think about the revelation that he shows you. And then you're going to say, okay, I get it. Because you made it your own experience. So here's some practical things that I'd like to see us do together. First thing is that I'd like to see everybody get a paper Bible. That's old school. Y'all looked at me. Y'all like, oh, no, not my phone. Please don't take my phone away. Don't do it. Here's why. Here's why. Watch. It's hard to document your journey on something you're going to trade in. It's hard to bounce around on a guide map if you haven't really found out where it is. It's hard to download a thought when your app is still downloading itself. See, in my Bible, I've got war stories. Oh, my goodness, I've got journey. I've got stuff written over here. My little boys were looking in here the other day like, Dad, what does this mean? I'm like, I don't remember. No, but seriously, the paper Bible is like, look, I've got stories from years ago, 10, 15 years ago of when I was praying something through. I've got things when it was only me, Taisha, and David. And Noah wasn't even on the scene. I've got things when I was single. And Taisha, she was acting crazy. And I had to say, Lord, change her heart. Get her. Change her. She's a wayward woman. Missing her blessing. I just had to. Proverbs 31. That's a lie. But look. The Bible, if you get some paper, as God begins to speak to you, I don't need to flip over to my notes. He's downloading it so fast that he's taking me on a journey. That maybe he's writing a love letter and I don't have time to type it. And then correct, oh no, I spelled the wrong. And then what do you keep saying? No. I've got a pen out. And he's telling me right here in the book of Nehemiah, whatever you're in, that when they cut off the enemy's head, that it seems gruesome because he's dealing with natural people. But God's saying to me, I'm going to cut off the sickness. That's because it's revelation. I know that it was an army fighting, but you mean to tell me that in an army fighting, you can tell me that you're fighting for me? What? That's crazy. Something happens when you have a paper Bible. I know it seems kind of crazy, but I want to challenge you to get a paper Bible. And if you say, Damon, I don't even know where to begin, we will buy one. We will get you one. We will find it, I promise you. We're doing our Next Steps sessions today, and part of what we're doing is talking about knowing God because we want to do life with you, but we also want to walk you through the foundation of your life being built on the Word of God. So I want you to get a paper Bible. Everybody say paper Bible. I know y'all going to be outside picketing next week like, no more paper Bibles, no more paper. Second thing I want you to do is I want you to set aside time that's just for you and your time in the Word of God. Listen, this past week, I'm going to be honest with you. This past week, I had to tell the Lord. I was like, Lord, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm going to be real with you. So please don't crucify me, okay? I'm going to be real with you. This whole week, I went through, and I maybe read my Bible twice this week. Y'all okay? No. I'm being real with you because I don't want you guys to be looking at me thinking, he does this every day. Here's the thing that I noticed this week. I notice that the enemy uses my time because my mind is constantly thinking about everything that requires it. So when I wake up and the boys are up 30 minutes earlier, I'm like, come on, man, I don't want to get you cereal. But then I have to focus on them because they're right in front of me. And this week I had to go, Lord, I am so sorry. I didn't give you your due. And I just said, God, I receive your forgiveness because I know you want to spend time with me. And I was making that tradition. So what I did was I just started getting in the car and I was like, God, I just love having fun with you. And then, no lie, this is what I did. I had to take my boys somewhere. I had to take them to practice. And I just pulled out my Bible on my phone. And I just said, God, while this little boy is in here practicing the drums, I'm going to set aside this time for you. It wasn't my ideal religious time. It was the time that I said, whoa, no more. I don't need to watch this boy practice and feel like I'm doing my daddy duty. Nope. His instructor's in the room. Huh, I got you. So you have to set aside time. All of us lead busy lives. Some of you work third shift. Some of you work second shift. Some of you work all day. Some of you are at home. Set aside time where it's just you and God. Third thing, have a plan. On our website, we have a one-year Bible reading plan. 5 minutes. Have a plan. Because otherwise, you get into some of these books, and you'll be like, oh my God, what's happening? But if you find a reading plan on like YouVersion, it'll take you through a whole design. They've got women's stuff, people who love sports, people who love outdoors. They've got children. They've got all sorts of things. You'd have to have a plan. Fourth thing is don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. Allow the Bible to speak to you. Allow the Bible to just pull some things out of you. Allow the Bible to ask you questions and ask the Bible questions back because, again, it's living. So I always like to look at a story and I go, what happened here? Why would you say that? What did it look like then? Because then what happens is I'm drawing myself into the text and I'm allowing God to really begin to position me in a relationship with him. So explore the Bible. That's the last thing. Have fun. Over the next week, remember, this is just foundation. I'm going to talk about the Word of God in terms of power. I'm going to talk about praise.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.